Good evening, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. I'm your host, Michael Gray.
Good evening, Michael.
Good evening. I'm glad to see you're back.
Yes, I'm glad to be back.
Peace negotiations with bronchitis?
Going well.
Wonderful.
Yeah, going well.
Wonderful.
You know, as with anything else in life, we have our moments, our flare-ups, but generally speaking, it's going well.
Wonderful.
And I'm not sure about this new baritone sort of a sound. Do you think have I hit baritone yet?
You're close.
Yeah, I think singing.
So you're baritone,
singing is
and
next.
Then what's the one above that? Alto, and then treble.
Yeah. Uh huh. Yeah.
Settle in there somewhere.
Yeah.
You're listening to KZSU Stanford at 90.1 on the FM dial. You can pick us up on the internet as well at kzsulive.stanford.edu. Sherry's been a Zen student and teacher for more than 25 years. She's written more than 15 books, and you have a new one coming out this spring.
Yes, When You're Falling, Dive.
When You're Falling, Dive. If nothing else occurs to you,
that's right.
Dive.
And yes, exactly, because at least, well, whatever happens, you're going to look more present.
You're going to look more present.
Yeah, which, you know, is probably going to look better. Let's face it.
I see.
Yeah.
So
you may not have any control, but at least you can be willing to go with the program.
Uh-huh. So whatever's going on externally, there we might have a sensation inside that we're falling.
Mm-hmm.
And we can be present to that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
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 We'd like to be in control, right? We'd like never to fall.
Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah, that'd be the preference for almost everybody.
Where do I sign up for that?
But sometimes we do.
Yes.
We trip, we stumble, we fall.
Yes.
And so when we do, we might as well go with it and enjoy the experience.
Yeah. Yeah. Great. If you'd like to join us today, you can reach us at 650-723-9010. If people want to reach us by email, they can send us an email during the week as well. That email address is openair@kzsu.org.
I'd like to make a little plea for people joining us on the telephone tonight. We
yes.
just finished an email class.
Yes.
And as we were finishing it up, we were all lamenting the fact that we were now going to be separated. And how are we going to live without this regular contact with one another? And here's a way that we can continue that contact.
Yeah.
People can just pick up the phone and give a call, and we instead of typing in our communication
yes.
with one another, we can talk it.
Yes. And talking it really brings it out.
It does.
There's no way to sort of hide or backspace or cover up.
Yeah. Yeah, people definitely feel the sort of therapeutic benefits of just writing something out. You know, something's going on inside your head, and you sit down and you write it all out. You're a different person at the end of the period of writing than you were when you began. It's not that we can't become that original person with a little well-directed thought, but
uh-huh.
generally speaking, as we get it outside that just crashing around in our skulls, we get it out. We have the distance of our arm to get away from
yes.
our problems. We can see it out there on a piece of paper or on the screen, and we're distanced a little bit from it. And the same kind of process happens when we're in communication. So
yes.
Something's going on with me, and I start talking about it as I hear myself talk, as you reflect it back to me, as you perhaps ask me questions about it, I start seeing and hearing things that I'd missed before. And again, I have a little bit of distance that can be so helpful in sorting our way through some of the difficulties of
absolutely.
Life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And my experience of that, of sharing it, is that we're all going through the same stuff.
We are. It is.
You know, I'd rather not. But.
Yeah, in this line of work, you know, we talk often about oneness, the idea of the interconnectedness of all being, non-separate reality, these kind
yes.
of notions. And the practical experience of that is we're all going through the same stuff.
Yes.
The content of it might be slightly different, but at bottom, we feel separate. We feel alone, different, maybe like we don't belong. We're left out. We don't quite understand how things are working. We're trying really hard. We're not having the kind of satisfaction and happiness and success that we that we were kind of told we would have as a result of all this good hard work we're doing. And,
yes.
We're just not that different.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's great because sometimes we can walk around in the world thinking that it's just us. Mm-hmm. We're the only ones suffering.
Yeah, it's just me. I'm the only one suffering. All of them have it together.
Yeah,
they look
clearly.
Good. Yeah, they're doing the right stuff. Life is working for them, and I'm kind of over here, and it's just not as swell as I would like it to be.
Yeah.
And when we start talking in this way, we realize, I even have them fooled, right? I have them fooled.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
They think I'm all right.
Yes.
Which we all are. Of course,
yes,
we are.
Yes.
It's the gap between what is so and what we believe is so.
Yes.
That's where the suffering is. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. So, Sherry, you're going to be away next week?
I am. I'm going to be in the gorgeous mountains of North Carolina, up in the Nantahala Gorge, at a meditation retreat.
Yes.
If anybody's in the neighborhood and wants to join us, there's still time.
Great.
Probably a meditation cushion open somewhere there. And we'll be there for about 8 days.
Oh,
actually, tomorrow night I'll be in Charleston, South Carolina.
South Carolina.
And then on Friday night, Athens, Georgia. Uh-huh. And all day Saturday in a workshop in Athens, Georgia. And then we'll scoot north slightly to North Carolina for the retreat.
Great.
Yeah.
You'll
then,
be busy.
Then be back here the next Wednesday.
The next Wednesday.
Or to join everybody on the radio.
Wonderful.
Very exciting.
So if people wanted to find out more about what you're doing or where the retreats are, they can go to your website.
They can. They can either visit me at www.sherryhuber.com or the Zen Center at www.thezencenter.org.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Sherry Huber, spelled C-H-E-R-I-H-U-B-E-R.
So far.
So far. .com. And so next week we'll be enjoying a previously recorded talk.
Great.
With you.
Great.
Great. So our quote for the day is assume nothing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a good one, isn't
that's
it?
A good one.
Yeah.
Now, why is that so important?
Well, the first thing that occurs to me is that if we're not going to assume anything, we'd better be present.
Hmm. No other options.
I can't think of any. We're either walking around assuming that things are the way we think they are and the way we're projecting them to be.
Yes.
Or we're present and having our own immediate experience of what is so. Mm-hmm. I personally think that's preferable.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And preferable with others.
Yes.
In interactions.
Absolutely.
Seems to me clear that when I'm assuming nothing, I'm taking responsibility for who I am, what I'm doing, choices that I make.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's a funny thing. People assume that it takes a lot of energy, a lot of time to be present.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm too busy. I don't have time to be present. But being present, we're always with something. We're always paying attention to something. So I can be paying attention to my beliefs and assumptions.
Yes.
I can be in a conversation with you assuming I know who you are and what you think and mm-hmm. how you're going to feel about mm-hmm. that. And, mm-hmm. I don't really need to be present to what's going on. I know you. I know what's going on with you.
Yes.
So I can either be attending to my assumptions or I can actually be attending to you.
Yeah. And what a gift for me.
Absolutely.
When
and
you
for
assume.
Me.
Yes.
Because I know what my assumptions are.
Right.
But I don't actually know what is going to take place in this moment.
Yeah. And when you're present to me, there's no labels on me. There's no box around me for who I am, what I can become.
Yeah.
What a gift we can share with everyone else.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I can see no advantage to assumptions. People will say, conditioned mind or small mind, it seems kind of handy because you can, drive around and go to the grocery store and I think, and be unconscious. Is that what we would really idealize? What would I be doing while I was unconscious? What could I be doing that would be more interesting than being present in my life? Can't imagine. I think people maybe daydream or fantasize, yes. You know, think about the past or the future in yes. states of unconsciousness, but I've never had an experience of that being superior to actually being alive.
Yes.
So
right here.
Maybe if anybody right has now. An experience of that, they could call in and yeah, make an argument for unconsciousness over present moment experience.
Yes.
But boy, it'd be a rough go to convince me.
Yes. I'm going to give that phone number again before we go to our first caller. Please join us today. You can reach us over the phone at 650-723-9010. Please feel free to join us. We'd love to talk with you today. And we have our first caller on the line. I'd like to welcome Jenny from Massachusetts. You're on the air.
Hi, Michael. Hi, Sherry. How are you doing?
Hi.
How's it going?
Oh, very well. How is the... I'm sorry to be so trite, but how is the weather in your neighborhood?
Oh, today it's actually nice. It's about 40 degrees. But,
wonderful. Because we're picturing all of you people back there kind of buried under many feet of snow at this point. So
we're definitely buried under snow, but fortunately it got sunny and beautiful today.
Good,
so
good.
Not as bad.
Good. So what's going on?
I wanted to talk to you about... I am living in the Northeast, and I used to live on the West Coast, and I'm living here with my partner for her job, mm-hmm. and sometimes it's kind of difficult to achieve balance in my life just because I'm here for her job, and I've put grad school on hold, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. So grad school on hold, and it sounds like we could sort of say, and a big part of your life on hold.
Right, exactly.
Uh-huh.
And also living in a region that I'm not entirely fond of all the time. The East Coast can be a little bit harsh in terms of personality. So, and I grew up in the Midwest, and I'm used to the West Coast and the laid-back kind of way people are on the West Coast.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I want to be supportive, and I want to be a good partner. And we've been here about 2.5 years, and we have about 2.5 years to go. And and it gets to be a little bit old.
Mm-hmm. And so are you doing things with your life that make it interesting and fulfilling while you're there? Or are you just kind of putting in your time?
Well, it's been kind of a struggle to find things that are interesting and fulfilling just because of, obviously, I need to work and make a paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
And we live in a college area. She's a coach at a college in Massachusetts. And we live out in the boonies, and there's not a whole lot in terms of work. So I've been doing work that I wouldn't necessarily... I worked in high tech in Seattle for a long time, and I was hoping that when I moved back east that I wouldn't be in high tech, but I'm in high tech again. So we have a plan in store for about 6 months down the road. I'm a writer, and we're going to try to make it work so that I don't have to work quite as much and I can focus on my writing more. But 6 months down the road seems like a long ways away.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so, what is your approach?
It's been that's a very good question. I think I've been trying to develop a strategy, a way to just kind of achieve balance for myself. But I don't always succeed at that, of course.
Uh huh. And now, what does balance look like?
It looks like not. I guess it looks like not being up and down roller coaster from day to day in terms of today I like it here, tomorrow I hate it here, the next day I like it here, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay. So it's not so much balance in keeping up with your yoga practice or making sure that you get enough exercise when
right.
running
That's
is
not
hard.
A problem.
That none of that is
right.
It.
Exactly.
It's your liking, disliking.
Right, it's my outlook,
factor.
I think. Yeah.
Uh-huh,
yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay, now, are you falling for the one that almost everybody falls for? If life were the way I want it to be, then I would feel the way I want to feel?
Possibly.
Uh-huh.
Possibly, but part of that is sincere in that I really like the West Coast, and I really enjoyed living there.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to school out here. About 10 years ago and knew that I didn't really ever want to settle here. So, I just need, I don't know.
Okay.
I guess it is outlook.
Yeah, yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. So, may I make a suggestion?
Sure, yeah, I'd love that.
Okay. You know, in life, you sound like you're young. You were in mm-hmm. school 10 years ago. You're right 31. Around 30? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's kind of hard to imagine at age 30 mm-hmm. Things that the kind of things the Buddha talked about, old age, sickness, death. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a long way out in the future for
Hopefully,
you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, certainly old age. The rest of it, we get no guarantees, do we?
I guess not.
But one of the things, well, I'll just tell you, when I decided that life was not being all that I hoped it would be, or I wasn't being all life hoped I would be, or whatever combination was putting me in a place of deep suffering.
Right.
I was motivated by two things. To me, the most awful things in the world mm-hmm. would be to be in a concentration camp
yep.
or to be in a wheelchair.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Those, when I looked out at life and I thought, if I could be all right in either of those circumstances, I mm-hmm. can be all right anywhere.
So in other words, perspective.
Yeah. So I wanted to do something with my life that left me in a place of knowing that whatever happened to me, I would not have my life experience dictated mm-hmm. by my life circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to me you are in a primo place to practice that.
That sounds good.
You know?
Yeah, definitely.
Just like things like the email class that I was mentioning, I have conversations with, you know, hundreds of people at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know who they are. Mm-hmm. So people are very forthcoming about what's going on in their lives.
Right.
And the kinds of experiences that people have are just rugged.
Right.
I mean, you know, going along and all of a sudden just being diagnosed with a terminal disease.
Yeah.
The one that just kind of broke my heart yesterday was the young baseball player.
Mm-hmm.
Just got married, expecting their first baby in April.
Mm-hmm.
He goes out there to train and practice yep. in a sport that we guess he loves, and he dies.
Yeah.
And so we don't know. You know, I think about his wife
mm-hmm.
and what she must be going through now, and how many people around the world are in those kinds of circumstances this very day where,
right.
you know, yesterday or earlier today, something happened that has changed their lives forever.
Yeah, I have a friend who's about 29, and her husband's 29 as well, and he's a quadriplegic. He had a tumor grow on his neck, and I want to think of them daily and think I'm being a brat for feeling like, God, I wish I lived on the West Coast.
Uh-huh. But, how shallow am
exactly,
I?
Exactly.
And yet, you, for each one of us, whatever it is whatever it is, right?
Yeah.
So that's really a waste of time, because, you know, for just about everybody to be placed for 5 years somewhere mm-hmm. that they don't want to be and to try to be happy for those 5 years, that's a challenge. That's a good challenge.
It is a good challenge.
Yeah. And so can you do it?
That's a good question.
Yeah. Can you figure out how to be as happy as you know how to be
mm-hmm.
right there?
Yep.
Now, a lot of people, the first thing that comes up for them is, then I'll never get out of here. If I'm happy here, my partner is going to say, well, then, gosh, you're so happy. Why don't we just stay?
Yeah, that's come up on good days.
Yeah.
Hey, let's get a house and stay forever.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, and the answer is no.
I know. I do feel like sometimes I'm going to get sucked in and trapped.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
We do. If I am really agreeable,
mm-hmm.
how will I ever get what I want?
Right.
I've got to hold out some of this griping, moaning. you know, I'm really suffering here. You owe me the next 5 years.
I think that would sound familiar to her.
Yeah.
She actually has. She has agreed to let me pick the next place that we move. So
yes.
That's great.
Yeah. And so just to get clear that's not true. We do have those kind of childhood beliefs, but It's not true. You're right. Grown-ups. You're going to talk about it.
Right.
You can be happy, just ecstatically happy, right up until the minute that the movers, you know, you wave goodbye to them as they're taking all of your earthly possessions across country. And what an opportunity, because what if you get to the West Coast and you're not as happy as you thought you were going to be? Because that's what happens to us when we are in a process of training ourselves not to be happy where we are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So if you prove this to yourself, and, you know, being happy is a process.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we say that kind of thing, and we go, yeah, that's true, but almost nobody believes it.
It doesn't actually just magically happen.
Right. Yeah. Because most of us look at the times in our lives when it did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, all I need to do is fall in love. All I need to do is get the right house. All I need to do is get the right job. And then, because that's what happened to me before, and I was really happy.
Mm-hmm.
However, if we realize, because have you noticed how many people have the right person, have the right job, have the right house, and they're still not happy? Yeah. So you don't want to be one of those.
Definitely
so,
not.
Yeah. So to recognize that it is a process and to set yourself for the next 2.5 years on the path of becoming an expert in the process of being satisfied, happy, living in a sense of well-being, regardless of your circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
That's
and I'll tell you, I'll tell you, you'll have plenty to write about.
Definitely. for sure.
Yeah. Good.
Okay.
Well, let us know, okay?
Definitely. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks for calling.
Okay, have a good night.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Jenny. Sherry, it feels like I have to hear it about 100 million times that my life circumstances don't have to equal my life experience.
Yeah.
There's just this ingrained belief that when things aren't going right, I need to be down. I need to be depressed.
Yeah.
And it's not even that. It just feels like it feels like there's no conscious choice in there.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like
it just happens.
I have no choice. Yeah.
Yeah. This. Yeah. And yet over and over and over, we have experiences that show us that it's not true. And I think that what you were indicating is the key part of it. If there isn't consciousness, there is that this. If this, then this.
Yeah.
When we're unconscious, of course, when we're unconscious, all roads lead to unhappiness.
Mm.
So that's how people can have everything and still be miserable.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
As I've heard you say 100 times before, you know, one process does not lead to another.
Absolutely.
So having leads to having.
Yeah.
Doing leads to doing.
Yeah.
Being happy leads to being happy.
Exactly. And, you know, people all over the world, as we know, look at us in wonder and amazement that a group of people could have everything that humanity has always wanted and still be the most unhappy people on the face of the earth. How do we achieve that?
Yeah.
Well, to me, the way we achieve it is following a belief system that says, I will get happiness when these things happen to me.
Yes.
I think much of the rest of the world sees a couple of things that we don't automatically see in our great rush to material wealth. Life in itself is worth having. If you have nothing else, life, the adventure of life. I was talking to my grandson a couple of weeks ago, and he wants to be a writer. And he says, but, you know, I don't have anything to say. Because if you're going to write about something, you have to have something to write about. And I'm a kid. I don't have the kinds of life experiences that are going to result in great writing. So he said, what I'm doing now in my life is having life experiences. And he said, you know, I don't really care what they are. I just need to get the experiences under my belt. So he's been very much in love with this young woman who is, you know, not being the person in relation to him that he would like her to be. And and I know that it's painful. I project that it's painful. And I was asking him about it, and because she'll come around and he'll kind of get his hopes up, and then she disappears or turns up with another boyfriend. And then he kind of lays low for a while, and then here she comes again. And and they've been doing this dance for a couple of years now. A
couple of years.
And I said, well, you know, isn't it? Don't you kind of get gun shy after a while? Because you know how painful it's going to be. He said, no, it's life experience. And I think, he's my hero. You know, that's it. Just life. It's life experience. It's not going well. What does that mean? You know, I'm alive. I'm going to be dead for so very, very long. And it's going to be so very, very soon that I get that way. So why would one moment be something that I would want to trade for my idea of how it should be? Mm-hmm. You know, this is it. I'm here.
Mm-hmm. This is a life experience?
This is
There's
it.
Another life experience?
Yeah.
This one I don't like?
And why? Why don't I like it? Why don't I like it? Why do I believe that having this emotion is better than having that emotion? Why? What am I doing? I don't think I'm actually probably experiencing either one of them if I'm believing that. Well, one of them feels better than the other. Does it? I doubt it. I think one of them thinks better than the other. But do they feel better? Does it feel different? Doesn't seem to. Not when we're actually feeling it.
When we're not in the story. So we've been conditioned to like this emotion and not like this emotion.
Yeah. And yet, if we really had each one of them, really experienced each one of them, it's like if you met someone who said, well, you know, I really only enjoy sweets.
Count me.
That was probably a bad example, huh?
Yes.
Because I would feel very sorry for that person.
Yes.
What a limited view to think, but what I really like, what I really want is sweets all the time. Well, sweets are good, but they're just one part of the range of flavors that a human being can enjoy.
Yes.
Why not enjoy them all?
Yes. Which reminds me of your analogy with the orchestra. And the different aspects of ourselves to be able to experience all of them.
Yes.
And not say, I don't like this experience. I want to stay over in this experience.
Yeah, we really admire people who live fully. You know, whether it's who? I just drew a complete blank on who a person might be. But I think about, an Ernest Hemingway. You know, talk about a grab all the gusto sort of a guy.
Yes.
But then you can get, I suppose you could see somebody like Madonna.
Yes.
As, you know, right out there.
Yes.
Just doing the whole thing.
Yes.
And I'm sure that there are just thousands of people, and not one of them is coming to my mind right now. You know, a person who feels things deeply and suffers greatly, and great art comes out of it. And Diego Rivera, those kinds of, we really admire them.
Yes.
Love them.
Yes.
Don't want to be them.
Right.
You know, want sweets.
Keep ourselves small so we know who we are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And this is what I like. And we rarely stop and question, how do I know that? Why do I think that? Why do I believe that?
Yes. Great. If you'd like to join our conversation today, please give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. You can reach us at 650-723-9010. And we have another caller on the line.
Great.
I'd like to welcome Nikki. You're on Open Air.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Great.
Our pleasure.
Hi, Sherry. I'm a very big fan.
Good.
I wanted to just give you a little tiny background on me first before I tell you the issue.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 27 years old, and I just started becoming familiar with your books and stuff within the last few months, and I've been in the middle of of an email class, so I'm approaching this as a very eager beginner. The issue is that about 2.5 weeks ago, I got a phone call that my father had died very suddenly of a heart aneurysm. And I wanted to discuss with you, like, how I might be able to use the awareness practice to sort of help with my grieving process.
What kind of help do you want with it?
I'm not sure. Sort of in a, how to approach it, how to think about it.
Yeah. That's what we want, isn't it? We want to approach our grief. You know, we want to have a way to think about it. Because otherwise, it's just kind of overwhelmingly painful. You have that experience?
I think I'm still kind of in a lot of shock.
Oh, I bet.
But, yes, I'm in little bits and pieces, yeah.
When I... At one point, I had a loss of somebody that very close to me, and this wise friend said, you know, the thing that you want to do, the thing I would advise you to do, is to expect anything. Just expect anything. That life as you have known it is over. You, as you have known you, no longer exist. Can you get a feel for that?
Yeah.
Because, you know, when we lose somebody close to us, of course, losing a parent at what I would say is such a young age as yours, I mean, this person has always been there in your life.
That's right.
You have no life experience without this individual.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So he was on the scene when you arrived, and so when we lose someone close to us like that, not only do we have this profound experience in the present, but we also lose an entire future. So it's extremely disorienting.
Yeah.
And I think it's very good that you recognize that you're in shock. Because I would, at least from my experience, I would bet you're just right on target with that. And so maybe there isn't anything to do with this except stay as conscious as you can stay. You know? It, to me, it's one of those situations where I always want people to radically lower their standards.
Can you say more about that?
Yeah, that you have ideas about the kind of person you are and should be, and how you behave and how you are emotionally, and maybe what kind of a friend you are, or what kind of a... You know, whatever. What, I don't know what your circumstances are. Whether you go, do you go to school or you work or?
I work.
Yeah. So, you know, what kind of an employee or a coworker or a boss you are. All of these ideas that we hold about our identity, and then it's like, you know, you're this giant jigsaw puzzle, and somebody just took all the pieces and threw them up in the air.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're all coming back down, but they're not in the same configuration they were in when they went up.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So just a lot of patience, a lot of spaciousness around yourself, you know, a lot of a lot of permission just to feel whatever you feel, not to have to understand it, not to have to justify. You know how we always want people to justify how they feel? Well, why are you acting that way? You know, this is a time when you can really practice not justifying anything. I don't know why I'm feeling this way. You know, I don't know what's going on with me. I'm emotional. I don't know. That'd be my encouragement. You know, when you look back on it, I'm sure you will have gone through all the stages of grieving. But to try to have any real sense of it or understanding of it in the middle of it, to me, is just the tendency is to want to separate from ourselves so that we can kind of stand back and watch ourselves, observe ourselves, and see how we're doing. Sometimes it's just not helpful. It seems to me this kind of situation is more a case where people want to really be with themselves rather than stepping back from themselves.
Can you say more about that?
Yeah. Do you have siblings?
Yeah.
Who are they?
I have one sister who lives in Philadelphia.
Okay. And the way you would be with her, are you close?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the way you would be with her going through this time, you wouldn't want to be objective about her.
Right.
You wouldn't really want to understand her. You just want to be there.
Right.
Yeah, you just want to be a presence, a sympathetic, understanding, kind, compassionate presence. And you can be that for yourself as well.
Mm.
You know, so it might be a great time for a lot of journaling.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have started writing. We're just writing down a lot of memories. It's amazing how many just sort of start flowing out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And little bits of stuff just start reminding me of all kinds of memories from all ages.
Yeah. Yeah. Because your whole being is shifting around.
Right.
To accommodate this. Yeah, everything about you is shifting to accommodate this.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as you adjust to this new world that you live in.
I kind of just have to wait and see how that unfolds.
Yeah. Yeah, with a lot of patience. And, you know, I would guess you're going to be watching that unfold for the rest of your life.
Mm. Right.
You know, because everything that happens in your life is going to refer you back to this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right, because this is where I came from.
Exactly.
This is how I developed.
That's right.
Our personalities are very, very similar.
Uh-huh.
And I see all these, it's amazing how when he's gone, I suddenly see all these ways that, all these things that are in me that I picked up from him.
Yes. Yeah, that are much more apparent now because there's only one of you being that way.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And I never thought about a relationship in that way.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, again, everything about you is going to come up to be viewed in this light.
Mm.
You know, and that'll continue. I mean, I don't know if you are married or, but if you're not, when you get married, that's a big family event. Your family is really different now.
Yes.
You know, if there are grandkids, if there are, you know, just all of the rest of a family's life, all different.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. The dynamics of my family, it was very bizarre just sitting there looking at how now it's just me and my mom and my sister and my boyfriend, and now we're the family.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yes. 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 And so you're all different people now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And these kinds of things happen to us all the time, mm-hmm. you know, to one degree or another of impact on our lives or effect on our lives. You know, something like this is huge, but we're changing all the time.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. When it's so big like this, it's so dramatic, so sudden. There's just all of life now is a new mirror for you.
Hmm.
The old way of being, the old way of seeing yourself, doesn't exist any longer. That's a shock to the system.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel sort of, I feel moments of feeling very dreamlike.
Mm-hmm.
Like things aren't really real.
Mm-hmm.
I can't quite, can't quite put it all together as,
yeah.
Is this really the way it is now?
Yeah, it's like you're between realities.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
Between realities. It's very, very weird.
Yeah.
It makes me not feel real, sort of.
Yes. Well, now once again, I would suggest you aren't.
Right.
Because the person you were is not any longer. The person you will be is not really here yet. And there you are, kind of between realities.
And I guess the road between that is sort of the process of grieving.
Mm-hmm. Don't you think?
Yeah.
Yeah, with all of the emotions that come up.
Yeah.
As you go through the various, it's not even stages. I mean, it's sort of stages in that, you know, we'll go through periods of time where we're maybe really angry or feel betrayed or that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But in my experience with something like grieving, it's so intermingled. You know, one second I'm angry and the next minute I'm crying and the, you know, then I'm very philosophical and then I'm just in despair.
Mm-hmm.
And there doesn't seem to be a lot of continuity, not a lot holding those various ways of being together.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But then that sort of starts coming together with time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does. The human system is an amazing thing. You know, and it just slowly builds itself back together again. However, for many people, I think that's an unconscious process.
Mm.
And you are attempting to bring consciousness to this. So I think it'll be much more illuminating for you. And it is for an awful lot of people. You know, as Michael and I were talking earlier, you know, a lot of people don't want to be around for experiences like this.
Right.
You know, it's the wake me when it's over.
Yeah.
But to be present and conscious, to go through it with yourself in that way, is very, very helpful. Great deal of compassion grows out of these kinds of experiences.
Mm.
Great sensitivity to human beings, to all beings. To life, to loss, to grief, sadness.
Yeah.
Yeah. Heart opening.
Hmm. Do you have any, practical suggestions, like journal writing?
Yeah, and you know, one of the things that I've found helpful with that sort of thing, because I don't know if this is happening with you, but sometimes people can feel sort of overwhelmed by something like grief.
Uh-huh.
And so you could set up a time during the day. I think late afternoon is often good. You know, you go through your day, whatever your day is like, and then you're going to have your evening, and there's that transition period where we let go of the work day and move into kind of personal time or family time. And maybe to take a half hour or 45 minutes or whatever it feels like would work and have that as your journal time. And every day at the same time, let the parts of you, whoever is there, has something that they want to say, whatever grieving is going on, and to let everybody express that, to know that there's a time during the day where grieving has undivided attention.
Mm.
And that way, you're not developing a habit of trying to stuff it down,
mm-hmm.
and then it starts coming out in, you know, in times and places that are not that appropriate.
Right, and you always know you'll have that to look forward to, so you
exactly
can put it off.
Yeah, it's like with a friend, you know, you get to the end of the day, and no matter how awful it is, you can get together with your friend, and you're going to get to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and just take the very best care of yourself that you possibly can. Mm-hmm. Not the time to go in self-improvement programs or, you know, that sort of thing.
Right.
Yeah, a lot of well, again, exactly the way you would be with your sister, with your best friend, with your mom.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of latitude.
Right.
Okay.
So there's, I wonder if you have any ideas about how to deal with that, like, in the workplace, because other people might not be as understanding.
Yeah. Well, you might have noticed that as a culture, we're a little tense around the whole subject.
Yeah.
Yeah, we give people about 3 days, and then they expect you to be back and over it and chipper and moving on in your life, and you just may not feel that way.
Right.
And so, again, you know, if you have that relationship with yourself where you know that at the end of the day or at lunchtime or whatever, you can go off and spend time with yourself and take care of yourself and listen and be honest about what's going on with you,
mm-hmm.
you'll probably be able to make it through your colleagues.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, you know, there'll be people who will surprise you with their understanding and sensitivity.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you'll hear stories,
mm-hmm.
right? Has that already started?
Yeah.
People start telling you things that have happened to them, and you just say, oh, my gosh. We are all in this together.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Take care of yourself.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
That was helpful.
Good. Good. Thanks for calling.
Nikki, thanks for joining us tonight. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. I'm your host, Michael Gray. If you'd like to join our conversation, or what's left of it here, we have about 10 minutes, please give us a call at 650-723-9010. Sherry, as I was listening to the conversation, I was wondering, how often do we give ourselves the permission to be as we are?
Oh, yeah. It's an interesting thing, isn't it? The amount of monitoring that we get.
Yes.
Constantly under scrutiny. Was that the right thing? Am I feeling the right? Is this how I should be? Am I being okay? Is that?
And the 3 days are up, and you know I should be feeling.
Yeah.
This way now.
Yeah, and if I'm not, well, what's wrong with me?
Yes.
I don't know if we talked about this on the radio show, but I don't know if you've seen the newsstands, but Newsweek and Time magazine, the covers are on this week are on anxiety, America, the anxious nation.
Uh-huh.
And I remember a few months ago when I was listening to something on the radio, and some drug company had just released anti-anxiety drugs, this whole new group of drugs for general anxiety disorder.
Non-specific.
I'm feeling something. I need a drug.
Sounds like the conditioning drug.
Yeah, I need to go shopping. I need to. It's amazing to me the extremes that it seems to me we're headed for in this country. The main thrust is to depress everything that we feel.
Yes.
Our ideal is that we can depress everything that we don't want to feel, and then what will be left is happiness, you know, feeling good. And that was just remarkably unsuccessful. And so, of course, there are drugs that we take for depression.
Yes.
And then once our depression has been handled, that now we feel anxious. Now, you know, it would be possible to call anxiety excitement and to get moving and get really enthusiastic about it. But that's not the connection that most people are making in their mind. So there are those sensations in my body. I call them anxiety. They're connected to stories and thoughts of fear. And I don't like them. I don't want them. And so rather than facing those stories, those connections, those beliefs that I have, I just, once again, I want to deaden all of the sensations in my body. There's, you know, there's only one acceptable sensation, feeling good.
Yes.
And anything else we want to get rid of. And I personally would like to cast a vote for, boy, is this a mistake, because we're destroying our humanity. And as we destroy our humanity, then, of course, we're having increasing problems with, you know, why don't I feel the way I want to feel? You know, we have all this stuff. Why aren't we happier? Well, because we're not allowed to feel anything. The idea that there are 100 ways to feel and I only get to feel one, and I'm going to do whatever is necessary to destroy those other 99 feelings so that I can feel the one thing that I want to feel. I mean, it's a wonderful notion, but it doesn't work.
Yeah.
It just doesn't work. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
So how many medications am I going to take? You know, and of course, at the risk of sounding judgmental or cynical, you know, there's big money in this.
Yes.
So of course, there are just hordes of people out there trying to come up with the drug that's going to accomplish that. It will destroy the 99 feelings that you don't want to have and leave you with the one that you do want to have. And of course, to me, that's just tragic, because there we are in a situation, somebody close to me has died and I can't feel anything because I have trained myself or medicated myself only to feel this one good feeling.
Yes.
I think it's just far greater to be an authentic, natural human being than this engineered creation that we seem to be headed for.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Wow.
So I think it's a marvelous thing when somebody is open to having such a difficult, painful, heart-opening, transformative experience, such as the loss of someone, a loved one, and to be willing to go through it with consciousness and awareness.
Yes, amazing.
It's just one of the great opportunities that we have as human beings.
Yeah, we're going to take a short break. Coming up at 6 p.m., we have Brownie in Motion with Your Imaginary Friend, followed by Wednesday Night Live with Kills the Pain. So we'll be back in just a moment. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. I'm your host, Michael Gray. We're getting near the end of our show here, and I'd like to welcome Anna to the show. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber. Anna, are you there? Anna, can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay. I'm calling from Raleigh, North Carolina.
Uh-huh. Well, welcome. Now, Anna, I have to tell you, I'm getting signals from people saying we have to be off the air at 6 o'clock.
Okay.
So if we don't have time, can we make a date for 2 weeks from now?
That would be great. Or is there any way you could just stay on the line with me afterwards for a minute?
Well, I could, and I certainly will, if we can make a deal for 2 weeks from now.
Sure.
Okay, because I don't want to rob anybody else of the opportunity of talking with you.
Right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah.
What I've been dealing with lately is anger.
Mm-hmm.
And as a kid, I was never allowed to feel that,
uh-huh.
Let alone learn how to deal with it in an appropriate way.
Uh-huh.
And I actually was at your monastery this past fall for a CINW workshop.
Mm-hmm.
And loved it. And
oh, good.
It's still just so powerful for me to have done that.
Thanks.
But one of the things that is stressed, you know, in your book of the same name and at the workshop is that when we judge others or, you know, hate others or something like that, that it's really just self-hate.
Projected outward.
Right. Is that the same thing with anger? That's my first question.
Well, you know, the Buddha... Anger is the only emotion that Buddhists address directly through precepts, not to be angry. And the Buddha supposedly used this image. Anger is reaching into a fire, picking up a burning ember in order to throw it at someone. So that's pretty compelling, isn't it? Now that pretty graphic. That doesn't. So our precept is not to be angry, which is very different from don't feel anger.
Right.
So to me,
feeling it and expressing it are two different things.
Yes, feeling it and expressing it, and there's nothing wrong with expressing it. It's
right.
How we express
exactly,
it that makes all the difference, huh?
Yeah, I know. I mean, my whole life I've just learned to stuff it, and that's not good for me.
No, no.
But expressing it inappropriately isn't good for the other person.
Or you.
Or me.
Yeah, because then you have to deal with them afterwards, right? And who needs
right,
that?
Exactly.
You're mad, you get upset, and then you offend them, and then they come back at you. It could just go on forever. In fact, that's what we call karma, you know. It just goes on forever. Okay, now we've got to meet in 2 weeks, all right?
Okay.
Because this is one of my favorite subjects in the entire world. But I'm going to give you something just to think about for the next couple of weeks.
Okay.
Okay? And that is, how could you express all of the energy that is in your body in a way that doesn't hurt you and doesn't hurt anyone else and that nobody else has to take personally? I would offer that as your kind of little Zen koan, your spiritual puzzle to work on for 2 weeks while I come and visit in your neighborhood next week.
Right. Okay.
All right?
Thank you.
Thanks, Anna. You've been listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. I'm your host, Michael Gray, and we've come to the end of our hour here.
So fast.
Just flying by.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to thank Sherry for joining us here. I'd like to thank all of our callers, our listeners, our big support team, Frank, Jay, Lori.
Wonderful.
Growing
people.
Every week.
Yep. And thank you, Michael, for making all this happen.
Great. It's a lot of fun.
Yep.
Sherry, you're going to be in North Carolina next week on
Charleston.
Retreat. Charleston.
Athens, Georgia. And then Nantahala Village in the mountains of North Carolina. Yes.
We'll be enjoying you here.
Good.
Remotely. Recorded Good. Conversation.
Wonderful.
And we'll be back the following week.
I look forward to it. We'll be talking with Anna about anger.
Your favorite topic.
My favorite topic. And hopefully we'll have a lot of us angry types.
A lot of angry callers.
That's right.
Calling in. Next up is Brownie in Motion with your imaginary friend, and at 9 p.m. we'll have Wednesday Night Live. Please join us again next week. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael.